Good morning. It is good to see you all here. And it is definitely good to have Mike and Terry back with us. We missed you guys. And you know, Terry, I think if I saw right, you came in without the walker or the cane, didn't you? Oh, you got the cane. Okay. Okay, well. Well, praise God for that. That is a good blessing right there. Well, I hope that you all had a great week and that you were blessed in so many different ways. I was so thrilled to get the text message about Effie and the success of the staple removal from her throat. And God is just good, isn't He? God is always good. And He's given us some nice weather the last few days. We'll have a little bit of nice weather, I think, into this week and this weekend. And it's supposed to get a little colder. But hey, spring, I think, is about 7 weeks away or 8 weeks away, something like that. I'm not counting or nothing. But I just want you to know spring is on the way. And in 6 weeks, we get to turn our clocks ahead 1 hour. So that's even better. I'm looking forward to that. But you know what? All that ties into my message this morning about waiting. It's called God Waits, but the message is going to be about us waiting as God's people. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 9 instead of 1 through 15. And when you get to that scripture, if you can, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read verses 1 through 9 this morning. 2 Peter 3, verses 1 through 9. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, we pray that what we have read, we will put it in our hearts, that we will meditate on it. And Father, we pray, God, that you would help us to persevere in this life as we wait upon you. And we know, dear God, that there's many times we have to wait, maybe a few days to a week, maybe even longer. But God, let us always keep our hearts and minds focused on you and not the thing we're waiting for. And now, Lord God, as I preach this message, let every word come straight from you, Heavenly Father, and through your Holy Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You've often heard it said that patience is a virtue, right? And how many times Have you ever had your mom and dad, you wanted something so bad that you had your mom and dad tell you, just wait, it'll come in good time. Well, as a kid, I want to tell you right now that that will drive you up one wall and it will drive you back up another wall having to wait. I don't know how many of you remember as being a kid. I remember, but in October, boy, we'd have Halloween, and I knew that Christmas was just 2 months away, and Mom and Dad always said, make out your Christmas list, because Santa Claus is going to bring you stuff, so get your list made out and get it to us. I tell you what, it didn't take me about 10 minutes to have two pages filled out on a Christmas list, and then I would give it to Mom and Dad, well, to give to Santa Claus. I'd put it in an envelope, and then I had to wait. And between Halloween and Thanksgiving, it seemed like an eternity. And from Thanksgiving till Christmas Eve, it seemed like an even longer wait. Some days I thought it was going to about kill me, having to wait. And I remember every day when Mom put the Christmas tree up right after Thanksgiving, then presents would start to arrive underneath. And boy, the anticipation just grew, the excitement. And oh, I couldn't wait any longer. I thought I was going to unravel at the seams. But when Christmas Day finally came, all the joy of sitting in the floor and unwrapping those gifts and finding out that I got a lot of what was on. I didn't get two pages of what I wanted, but I got some of the good things that I wanted. So sometimes patience is a virtue, and waiting will also help bring good knowledge to us as Christian people. We have a lot of people who are in such a rush in life that they have forgotten how to wait. And people pray this today. They say, God, please give me patience. And what happens when you pray and ask God to give you patience? Now, God is not, and when they pray for patience, here's what they say, God, please give me patience and give it to me right now. Before I smack the person that's been driving me crazy the last week or last few months of my life or whatever. I see some people looking at their spouse or looking at people. I'll say this faithfully. I'm surprised that I'm still alive standing in this pulpit today myself. But people always ask God for it right now. But when we pray for patience, this is what happens. God starts to put things in our life, sometimes maybe testing and trials, because if you pray and ask God for patience, then God is going to allow you to go through things that you would have to wait, that you would grow. That's what God's hope is that we would be patient, that we would focus our attention and our time on Him instead of the things that are all around us. And I've known this. Now, I remember applying for a pastor's job of a church, and you talk about having to wait. Oh my goodness. I wanted this one church so bad. And there was quite a few other guys trying out for this church. And boy, I'd pray in the daytime and in the night, Lord, oh, that you would bless me, Lord, and just let me have this church. Lord, open that door now. Let it all happen. And Father, oh, I want to be the pastor there so bad. And then a little bit of time would go by and I'd go preach. And then all of a sudden, I found out over the time that I had waited, what I thought I wanted right then wasn't really a good time at all. There were actually things going on within the church that God didn't want me to have to be a part of. And it was things that this church needed to get worked out. And I had to wait. But it finally came down to the day and the time when the search committee called me and said, look, we'd love for you to come and preach for us again. And we're actually seriously looking. So it was a good time, but I had to wait. And I thought that I was going to literally lose my hair while I waited. But in the scheme of having to wait and asking God to give us patience, we have to remember that the Almighty Creator God, He is one who waits as well. Everything, you ever heard this, that everything happens in its own time for a certain reason. Back when Abraham and Sarah were told that they were going to have a baby, does anybody know how long they had to wait? Anybody remember? It was quite a long time. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen just within a week or a month. But the wait was a long time. But you remember also when God told Sarah that she was going to bear a child in her old age, she kind of laughed. She thought it was funny because she's thinking, well, you know, my womb is barren. There's no way that I could have a child. But see, with God, all things are possible. With God, nothing's impossible. He can do anything. But Abraham and Sarah had to wait because God's plan for their life, there were certain things that had to happen, certain things had to take place. And then when their son was born, they both knew that it was God's appointed time for their son to be. When Noah was told to build the ark, you want to talk about waiting. That took a long time to build that ark because they didn't have the construction equipment that we have today. They didn't have the tools back in the day that we have now. But as Noah and the ones helping him were building the ark, people would come by and they would laugh at him. Well, number one, because they had never had seen rain before. The water, or the ground was always watered from underneath back in those days before rain was ever known. And Noah kept telling the people, God is going to send a rain upon the earth. And the people laughed at him, and they mocked him because they had never seen the rain happen. But at the appointed time, see, and here's the thing, Noah didn't paced the ground wondering when the rain was going to come. God told Noah, I want you to build this ark, and this is how I want you to do it. And Noah was faithful. Noah wasn't worried about the rain or the flood or getting the animals to the ark. He was in the process of building the ark and telling people about what was to come, the destruction. And he wanted people to know. And even though that they laughed, he continued to do the work of God, and he never once wavered in his faith, and he never quit. But when the wait was over, when Noah and his family were in the ark and all the animals were on board, the door was shut, and guess what happened? The rain started to fall. I want to look this morning at just a couple things. First of all, the mystery of God's patience. God's patience was hard for the early church to understand. God had made certain promises about the future, and as yet, nothing had happened. The scoffers were beginning to say, where is the coming of the promised one? There, you know, God made a lot of promise. God told the prophets a lot of things, but then there's that time of waiting. See, humans get so impatient if it doesn't happen right away, we think it will never happen at all. You know, it's like when we pray for somebody to get saved, we pray fervently for these people, but we should never ever say, I don't think they're ever going to get saved. I've been praying for 15, 20 years, and ain't nothing happened yet. Well, because things don't happen in our timing. God has a time and a season for everything. Just like when Lazarus died, Jesus stayed behind. He knew that Lazarus was sick. He knew that Lazarus was dying. And Mary and Martha, I mean, here they are. They're worried. You know, Jesus hasn't come yet to touch their brother and heal him. And Lazarus dies. And then finally, after Jesus heard that Lazarus had died, then he went to the place where Lazarus laid. And why is that? Do you think that Jesus was being cruel? No, he was not. Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but what he wanted to show the people was that he had the power to do anything, that with him nothing was impossible. But yet today, Christians grow impatient, and Christian people get so impatient that people actually start to fall away. Well, in the early church, that happened. When the Israelites were out in the wilderness, you know, when they were out going around the mountain, how many times they wandered out there going around and around and around because they would start doubting God and what God had said, and they started to believe what was in their own hearts. And this is what comes back down to the devil distorting God's word. How many times have you prayed for something, but you'll have Satan come up against you, and Satan will always tell you it'll never happen? Or maybe you're not good enough to receive that. You've been so bad. You've sinned, and God will not honor you. See, Satan will get into the minds and the hearts of the believers, and he will twist what you've been praying for. He will twist anything that you've hoped for to make it seem like it's never going to happen. But Christians grow impatient today, and they start to fall away from church. I remember I started my very first church back when I was, 21 years old, 20, maybe 22. I got my first church. And I walked in there as pastor, and there was about six people. And they told me that they wanted to grow. And they had a brand new sanctuary. And in that sanctuary, the baptistry had ladders, had Christmas decorations, had flowers, and they had a whole basement. I mean, six people, and the basement was just as big as our basement down below, and it had all kinds of storage room down below. And so my first Sunday, I asked after church, I said, why is all that stuff in the baptistry? Well, we wanted to have a good place to where it was easy access to the decorations, and we didn't want to have to go downstairs and bring it up. And I said, well, this Saturday we're going to have a work day, and we're going to clean that baptistry out. And they said, well, why? I said, because we're going to start having baptisms real soon. And this is what people in the church said to me. Well, Brother Jim, we haven't had a baptism here in forever. We don't know when the last time we even turned the faucets on. And I said, how long have you had this new building? Oh, about 3 or 4 years. And you haven't had a baptism yet? No. We've just watched people just go off and go other places. I said, we're emptying the baptistry out, and we're going to have baptisms. I promise you that. I was believing. So Saturday came, we cleaned the baptistry completely out, and I prayed, and I know many other people, there are some faithful ones in the church praying too, and we're asking God to bring us the candidates for baptism, that people would start joining the church. And I'll tell you what, it took a lot of growth inside my heart, and it took a lot of faith to see God start to move, and it did take a little bit of time It took actually 6-7 months. But finally, I started to go out with another pastor, and we were visiting people all around, and people started to come to church. But we went to a trailer one day to a man who had been an alcoholic, lost his driver's license, didn't have much of a future anymore. His wife worked as a nurse at the VA, but he got saved. And he said, "Brother Jim, I can't wait to get baptized." And then his wife, when she found out, when she came home from work that day, she found out that her husband got saved, and she called me at home and said, "Well, I got saved, but I've never been baptized before. Could I get baptized?" And so I said, "Sure, you sure can, Rosie." And then all of a sudden, other people started to come forward and said, "Well, I've never been baptized, or I want to get saved." We had a young man got saved. And guess what? For the first time, we turned on the faucets to the baptistry, and we filled up the baptistry. And that morning, we baptized 3 people. And after church that Sunday, they were going to drain the baptistry. I said, "No, leave it. We're going to have more." And it wasn't before long that we started to see God move. And I say all of that to tell you this. It doesn't matter how a situation looks for a time or at a certain time, God is able and capable to do whatever He wants, but He's looking for the faithful followers, His children, to stand behind Him and wait on His time. Because I'll tell you what, I've been impatient and I've wanted things to happen now, and there's been times that God answered my prayers and gave me what I wanted at the wrong time, but because I persisted that I want it now, He gave it, and boy, did it ever backfire in my face. And it didn't take but a few times to finally learn. You know, you touch a hot pan on the stove and get burned, guess what? You learn pretty quick not to touch that again. So in the midst of waiting, I have realized that God has been good, God has been sovereign, and God has been faithful. Now we hear about the coming of Jesus Christ, and people today are scoffing and mocking Christians. Well, they've been saying for years that Jesus was coming back. He hasn't come back yet, so He's probably not ever going to come back. Well, the time has not been ready. That's why God waits. See, God waits patiently because there are many people that have not been saved. And because God is loving and sovereign, He wants to see these people come to know Jesus, His Son, as Lord and Savior. So God will wait. But God doesn't want us to stand around and look at the eastern sky and wait for the rapture to occur. And God doesn't want us walking the face of the earth wondering when our day is coming that we will get to enter His glory. God wants you and I to do the work that we've been called to do. And He wants us to focus our attention on Him. See, when you focus your attention on God the Father, you're not going to be worried then about the things that's going on around you. And what do people say after some time? Boy, the years flew by just like that. Can you imagine? When I prayed for my mother-in-law to get saved, I mean 10, 11, 12 years at least of praying, witnessing to that woman, to have her turn her face away from me. And then finally the one day, God laid on my heart to call another pastor to go see her. And he went to go see her, and she got saved the very next evening. All that time waiting. And there were times that I would sit around and go, "Well, God, why couldn't she have been a Christian back here, and then we had more time to fellowship with her like that. Instead, God said, what you need to do is look at the here and now. She is a child of mine, and now you get to fellowship with her, and you get to worship in the joy that she has found. And I tell you what, it was a short time from her getting saved in April till November came and she passed away. And we were with her at her bedside when she passed. And that was the most calming and the most pleasant experience I think that I'd ever witnessed. Because see, Janine's mom for the longest time wasn't ready to meet the Lord. But see, God patiently waited for her. And when the time was right, and she knew in her heart she needed Jesus, then it finally happened. See, as I read in Scripture, God doesn't see time like you and I see time. One day to God is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. You and I have a calendar we look at. How many of you ever say, boy, the years that have flown by, where have they gone? Oh, I can't believe that much time has passed. And to God, He doesn't even know time. Doesn't that boggle your mind? It does me. I catch myself thinking, how much time has passed by since the creation of life in the world and the heavens and man? How much time has passed between then and now? And to God, it's not been all that long. He doesn't know the depth of time like we do. God's patience does not imply that He is powerless, because He has a power and He intentionally withholds itself for our benefit. Secondly, the meaning of God's patience. God waits with a benevolent kindness that lets us share in His work. Listen to that again. God waits with a benevolent kindness, which means God waits with love because He wants us to share in the work. Yeah, there's been many times I've said, Lord, just come get me. I'm ready. Oh, I can't take another day. Well, I need to quit letting the words like that come out of my mouth when I'm frustrated, because I do get frustrated and wore out at times over things. And what I need to be saying, Lord, put somebody else in my path that I can minister and witness to. Father, let me work alongside my fellow brothers and sisters in the church and do what You want us to do. Let us pursue what You've put out before us. But we have to do it with love, and we have to do it with patience. Sometimes we think, well, I could do this better, and I could do it all by myself. And that's where we get ourselves into a mess. As a pastor, I've stepped into that role, and I've thought, you know what? I said, God, this church needs to grow. I could do it all on my own. I got it from here. And I took that road, and I watched a lot of bad things take place because I took everything into my hands. It's tempting that, you know, to think about what God's thinking, but you know, there's nothing that we can do that God could not do far better than we could. See, God's ways are higher than our ways, and God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You know, I would love to see Sunday school come to this church. I would love to see Sunday school come back. And you know what? There might be people who would say, I don't know if it'll ever happen, or I believe it will happen. But you know what? We have to wait on the Lord. That's probably one of the hardest things, being a pastor or even being a deacon or a trustee in a church, because you got people who will come to you and say, well, what about Well, what about growth? Well, when are you going to do something? Well, I can't do nothing about it. I can go visit. Deacons can go visit. Trustees can do things within the church. Well, we got to have this or that fixed. When are we going to get it done? See, people get in such a hurry, and then we start thinking, well, you know what? I could do this a lot better. Instead of waiting on God, God always has a much better plan. So while we're waiting for Sunday school to get started up here at this church again, while we're waiting for more and more people to fill these seats, we need to be pursuing Him. We need to be going after Him with a passion. We need to be saying, God, my soul pants for You like a deer pants for the water. I need You, God. I don't need anything else but You, Lord. Because only You can satisfy my soul. Only You can satisfy the longing that I have within me. Sure, I would love to see this baptistry filled, and I would love to have some people coming forward and being baptized. But it's going to take not just me, it's going to take all of us together as a church family to go out and get the work done. Now, if we all decide to sit back and just let God do it, well, guess what? It ain't going to happen if we sit back and do nothing. That's why God put us as laborers in the vineyard. God wants us to go in and work, and God wants us to go in with a glad heart, and God wants us to do the work joyfully. And when at the right time it happens, we will see the bountiful harvest that the Lord has prepared for us. And even with Jesus coming back, I believe that the time is getting really close. Oh, I believe it. The things that are happening, the Bible, the prophecies are lining up quicker and quicker each time. I read the news, devastation everywhere. It's the beginning of all things, and I mean it is really here. This past week, 10 inches of snow in Florida, and the panic and chaos. Well, some folks just panicked and chaos. New Orleans and all across the South. Wars. People have become lovers of their self. Look at how the churches are emptying out, and people no longer have a desire to serve the Lord. We are here at the time, but while we're waiting for Jesus to come back, we must be at work for Him. See, when the Master returns, we need to have Him finding us working joyfully, sowing seeds, witnessing, doing whatever He's called us to do, and doing it with a glad heart. We can ask God and ask God and ask God for things, but a lot of the time we're going to have to wait. I want to share this, then I'll close. My granddaughter was expecting her baby, and my granddaughter said one night, it was just right before Christmas, oh, I wish this baby would come. Oh, this, oh, almost 9 months is killing me. Oh, I want this baby out of here. Oh, my goodness. And she said, oh, I wish the baby would just come tonight, tomorrow, bye. And then more time went on, and then she went in the hospital for them to induce labor. The baby was supposed to be in here December 27th. Baby didn't come till January 4th. But see, everything was lined up perfectly for that baby's birth. And here's what my granddaughter realized. When that baby came, she forgot all about the pain and suffering that she went through. She forgot all about the sickness and the backaches and all that, and the torturous thoughts of having to deliver this baby without an epidural and pain medicine, because that's how she wanted to do it. When the baby got here, she was filled with such a joy that joy overtook everything bad she ever experienced. So I say that to tell you this. While you're waiting on God, it might seem like you're going to die waiting. It may seem like you're going to come unnerved during the long process or the haul out and wait. But let me tell you this. When you see God move in your life and answer that prayer, when you see God meet that need, when you see our doors open for Sunday school, you are going to forget about the negative things that we went through in the past, and all you'll be able to say is, thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. There's also coming a day that we'll meet our loved ones in heaven. Some of us have had to wait. I'll honestly say this. 2 weekends ago, we were going through the house. We were cleaning up stuff, getting rid of a bunch of, unnecessary things that we had, just getting boxing stuff up. And Janine said, if you would, I'll let you sort through the movies and stuff down there and get rid of whatever and leave a stack. Well, while I was doing that, I come across the videotape. And it said, Cooper Family Reunion 1995. And I thought, oh boy. So I stuck it in the VCR, rewound it, and I started to watch it. And it hit me just like a ton of bricks. My sweet mama was the first one I saw in that video, and I heard her voice, and I just lost it. And I broke down and cried. And I thought, Lord, I miss my mom. Boy, do I miss her. But I'll tell you what. What she's experiencing now, I wouldn't bring her back to this earth for nothing. And you know what keeps me joyful and waiting for the time when I get to see her? It's serving God. And it's living for Him that makes each day so much easier. It makes this day easier than yesterday. But after I had my time, I just thought of my mama worshiping in heaven. Probably singing in that choir with all the rest of my family, with all the rest of my friends that have gone on before. But while I wait, God is always merciful to give me the strength to help me wait. He's always good.